Blog Talk Radio.
God, I need to find you. Father, where are you?
Won't you?
To speak with your children today. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to do what you've called me to do, Father God. God, we just ask you right now to bless your children, God, in a way only you know how and know when to do it. God, we just ask you for your sovereign grace, Lord, for your mercy, your tender love upon our lives, because we have sinned against you, Father God. We wonder, where are you, God, when we do sin, God? But we also wonder, where are you when we praise your name, God? And we know for a fact that we will never be left behind by you, because your word says that you our God, you are the God that will never leave us nor forsake us, God. God, we ask you right now to bless us in your holy name, Jesus, Son, Jesus, whose Son that you only have, that you allowed to die for us and to be a sacrificial lamb on the cross of Calvary, God. And we thank him for his obedience to you, God. God, we just ask you right now for what you're about to study and what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, man, forgive me for being a little bit late. I actually thought I had a show at 5:30 instead of 5 o'clock, but I'm here, so better late than never. Amen. This is actually like a part two from what I did yesterday. I talked about faith a little bit, and God's put it on my heart to move this show up from the weeks ahead up to now. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Matthew 14, 22, and 23. As a matter of fact, it's verses 22 through 33, not 23. So it's Matthew 14, verse 22 through 33. And while you're looking, I'm going to play the intro song, and then we'll be right back.
Yeah, this is one of them. A hand clapper. A toe tapper. If you're not careful, you'll shout all over somebody on this song. I know you will.
Lost in despair. Surging high and low here and there. Wondering if anyone cares. Will there ever be
I told you. Put them together.
I tried him and I know it. He will not let you down because he is always around. I know that's right, Fred. If you have a Bible, go with me to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, 33. And the word of the Lord says this, just as I said, I'm reading from the NIV, but whatever you have, whatever version you have, is just the same as God speaks to his children. And this is what the Lord says. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. for just a little bit. I'm going to take this title coming from verse 33 and 31. The B part, Jesus said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Just for a few minutes that I have left, and I hope to bless you as well as I bless myself, as we bless God, I want to talk about where is our faith and why is it so small? Where is our faith and why is it so small? I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I had very little or no faith in God because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going to happen. So there are some things in my life that I did not like to happen, but it happened because it happened, and God wanted it to happen because he made it happen. See, people get happy by what things are good that are happening. But don't you know when when things happen the way that we don't want them to, we are no longer happy. I mean, we all heard the song, "I Get Happy," by Pharrell. Come on, clap along if you feel, if I don't know the lyrics, but you know what I'm talking about. But he is saying that even though you are happy, there's a clue or there's some evidence that things around you that are happening that you want to happen. Now, I'm not dogging Pharrell per se, but I know he's wrong in a lot of cases because there are a lot of us, even as Christian folks, who are children of God, who get happy over the best things in life. And the best thing, if you are a child of the Most High, the best thing in life for you and for me and for us is salvation through God, through by his son, Jesus Christ. I have salvation in my life. I should not be happy at all. I should have joy, unspeakable joy. Because if people can take your happiness away from you, the Bible says that this joy that I have, the world did not give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I'd rather be joyously than happy. Whatever I'm going through, whether good or bad or ugly or sad, I have joy because God himself gave it to me. We see in our text that when Jesus was by himself to pray, and when evening came, there was a boat that he was going to get into or walk towards his disciples. Now, let me back up a little bit. When Jesus was by himself, he began to pray. We are this, of the human race, sometimes we have to be alone to pray. We have to get away from the crowd to talk to our Father in heaven because we want to hear a word from God. And I don't know about you, but I can't. And I'm not trying to sound like an excuse or nothing, but I can't pray to God with a bunch of noise. Amen. I don't care if it's people or family, friends, TV, radio. It has to all shut down for me to hear a word from God. Well, let me wrong. God can speak over things because he is God. He has that power. But I'd rather just speak to God to myself and for myself in a quiet area, to be in my spiritual closet and talk to God and ask God, "God, what will you have me to do for you?" We need to start having a selfish attitude about what will God do for us, but what will we do for God? I think it was President Kennedy who once said that we ought not to be, what did he say? Something crazy. It was not crazy, but we ought to bless God instead of God blessing us. Don't get me wrong. I would love to be blessed by God. And devil is a lie. I cannot talk today because I'm tired, but I'm going to get this word out. I don't care what the devil said. Satan's a liar. But when God says he will bless his children, he will. And the biggest blessing to me is having salvation through his son. So I won't die and go to a burning hell for eternal life. I don't care what I have on this side of earth. It cannot compare to the salvation of the Lord. And that's when our faith kicks in. We have to keep our faith in God because the Bible says that we worship him in spirit and in truth. How can we worship God if we don't have any faith? The Bible also says that without faith, it is very impossible to please him. I have not yet met a person who had a lack of faith and God was pleased by that. No, that's not how it works. God said to himself, "If you don't have any faith in me, how can you please me?" Well, preacher, I don't know all that, but, you know, there's some things in my life where I just don't know, don't like it. I just can't stand it. I think it's God's fault. No, it ain't God's fault. God has never, ever made a mistake. I said this yesterday. We need to stop saying that God has not failed me yet, because that word yet will expectantly say to you and I that we are expecting God to fail. We are not serving the God, the Almighty Creator, who made heaven and earth to fail. He can't fail. He can't do two things, fail and lie. The Bible says that Jesus is not the Son of Man to repent, and he is not a man of God, a man to lie, to backbite, if you will, on his promises. That's just my version of it. I just jacked it up, but you get the gist of it. He can't repent because he can't lie. He can't fail. And it's crazy enough to have him have faith in us as his children and we not have faith in him. Does that sound absurd to you? If God has faith in us to do what we've been called to do, how can we have faith in him? Before this point came, Jesus actually fed a multitude of people of 5,000 men, not including women and children. Now, if Jesus himself fed 5,000 plus, he had to have faith somewhere to his Father, because he said that layman's terms, make this two-piece biscuit and fish into a buffet and pray to his Father beforehand. And his Father blessed the multitude. That is faith. The five loaves and a two-piece fish dinner. God fed everybody. Why? Because his Son had faith. Jesus said it himself. Make the men sit down. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute. We only got like, what, $24.32 in our treasury account. We don't have enough to feed all these people. There's no Walmart. There's no Target. There's no Sam's Wholesale Club. There's no, we don't, God, how are you going to do this? Lack of faith. Jesus said, no, don't send them away. I got this. And before you know it, everybody was saved. So after his prayer on the mountainside, Jesus decided to walk towards the boat. And by this time, his disciples were already in the boat, and they were afraid. But don't blame the disciples because they were afraid, because they didn't know who would come after them. I'd be afraid too. Wait a minute, hey. Who's that? What's that? Hey, what's going on? Y'all don't see this person walking on the water. Who is that? Tell me something. But Peter said, wait a minute. That's Jesus. And what tripped me out, y'all, is when Peter got out the boat, because Jesus said, come on. Peter had actually challenged him. Yes, he did. Look at the verse. I'll take it there. He said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, I don't know nobody to this day that walks on water except for Christ. But when Jesus said, come on, the other people in the boat were holding him back. And that's the problem nowadays. When people tell you to come on, I mean, when Jesus tells you to come on, excuse me, when Jesus says to you, come on, you have people in your life that will hold you back. I'm going to school next year. Man, you ain't got no money to go to school, man. Just stay out another week. Stay out another year and save up. And I'm going now. Oh, man, whatever. I'm getting that house. Your credit score is shot, man. How you gonna get a house, dog? I'm getting this new vehicle. Come on, just tow up. Man, you need a down payment so big, it's going to be crazy. People can hold us back from what we want to do or need to do in life. But Jesus said, I got you. Come on. I'd rather be out on the water with Jesus than be in a boat with naysayers without Jesus. Because there's some folks in my life that I had to literally let go because they were holding me back. God bless them. May they do well in life, but I had to let them go because they were not seeing the same picture as I was. You ain't no preacher. You ain't nobody. You can't hoop. You can't holler. When trying to, but that's what they told me. You can't teach a class. You only been saved for I don't know how many years. I haven't said longer than you. People will hold you back. But when Peter got out on the water, the wind and the waves distracted him. Life will distract you if we are not careful. And that's when we begin to sink. That's when we lose our faith in God. That's when things go wrong that we don't understand why it's going wrong, because we have lost our faith and trust in the Lord. As the Lord told me right now to go out on a volcanic mountain and walk on the lava, as long as he is there, I can do it and not get burned. If Jesus told us to walk on water, your water walking experience can be going back to school. Your water walking can be writing a book, buying a house, getting married, having a family. There are some folks in your life who are telling you that you can't do it for whatever reason. Cut out the naysayers. Let them go. I don't care if it's family, friends, or whoever. You ain't going to be mean about it, but let them know, hey, this is what God told me to do, and I cannot listen to your negativity. I got to let you go. So when Jesus saw him sinking, Peter begged out and told him, he didn't ask, he told him, Lord, save me. Now, this is what inspired me, because when Jesus said them three little words, notice he did not have a long, drawn-out prayer. Lord, here I come, kneeling by the bow. I want you to know that you are the Son of God. You are the Almighty. And I know that I'm sinking in this water, God. I want you to know that I am a sinful man. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus asked him one question. Why did you doubt? I had you covered. I got you covered. Why did you doubt? Because Jesus answered his own question. He said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? The question was, why did you doubt? Hey, he had little faith. Peter had little faith. My question is, what if Peter had no faith? He wouldn't get out the boat in the first place. So I just believe that when Peter had little faith, God reached out and grabbed him. There's a picture I've seen many times where there are two arms and two hands. You can't see the actual face of the people, but one hand is reaching up and one hand is reaching down. I just believe that one hand is reaching up is us, and the one hand is down is God. Because God will do that. God will pull us up out of a muck and miry clay to save his people from sin. Though that we are not sinless, but we should sin less. Now, I'm thankful for God for saving my soul years ago at the age of 32. Because I was on my way to a burning hell. Now, I'm not afraid to tell you what I've done in the past before I got saved. Drug dealing, game banging, running the streets, catching women, sleeping with women who was not my wife. I have no business doing that. But I'm not ashamed of my past because my past tells my story. I cannot be ashamed of my past and be proud of my future. I'll tell anybody, if God can save a low life like me, he can save anybody. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you did or will do in the future. God can give you a 180 degree. Now, know something. I didn't say a 360 degree. Because people in church, we all say it all the time. Oh, God turned me around 360 degrees. Yeah, hallelujah. Well, if he did that, he ain't did nothing. You back in your same mess as you was before. But a 180 is total repentance. A 180 is turning your life from sin. And you may sin again, no doubt. You're going to sin again. But God already knows this, and he still loves you. And he is not willing to give up on you. And if that is the case, don't you give up on God. Have faith. Trust in him. Believe on him. He will do it. God bless you.
Here I am. I'm alive.